This is Changing the Rules, a podcast about designing the life you want to live. Hosted by Casey Dempster and Ray Lowe, the luckiest guy in the world.
Happy New Year, everybody, and good morning from beautiful downtown Woodbury, New Jersey. Ray Lowe and I are here with our fantastic engineer, Taylor, who keeps us on the straight and narrow, and we're going to talk to you about changing the rules. This is a podcast about change and transition, and knowing that change is so difficult for so many people, we've often, you know, in our careers have tried to help people through that and help make it easier for them. And we believe that if you feel that you're in control of your change, then it does make it easier and makes it a little bit more comfortable. And in order to be in control of the change, having a plan goes a long, long way. So today we're going to talk about the plan and all of the different things that you need to pay attention to, have the plan, but of what you're going to do, but also maybe when you're going to do it.
Yeah, and we have an absolute expert who is a master of planning, and I don't think she ever really thought so, okay? But I've known Bonnie for a good long time. We're going to introduce Bonnie Shea here, who is the owner of Mariposa Photo Organizer. That in itself is a change. Mm-hmm. We're going to let Bonnie talk about that a little bit. But Bonnie and I were in a coaching group for years and years and years. And I've been able to see the changes in her business and how she has walked into them. And then we're going to talk a little bit about an event that occurred that made everything take place real quick. So, Bonnie, welcome to the wonderful world of Woodbury, New Jersey. How are things in Highland Park, Illinois?
Well, great to be here. I'm in Highland Park, Illinois. There's no snow on the ground, so we're all good. And we're having a happy new year here in 2020. So all is good. And I'm thrilled to be here with you both.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
So talk to us a little bit about you being, I guess when I first met you, your business was to be a professional organizer. And you looked at organization as kind of a total thing. You did a whole lot of stuff. And that business over the years has changed. So tell us a little bit about what you used to do, then tell us a little bit more about what you did do and do, and what you're going to do. So there.
Wow, okay, that's a mouthful, but I'll do it. So 13 years ago, I started my own business. I was going through a divorce, and my ex-husband and I had a business together. And so since he was the photographer in this business, I needed to move on to something different. So because I have the genetic, the DNA for being organized, I decided to become a residential organizer because my whole life people have told me, Bonnie, you're so organized. And I've always felt organized and I like to make order out of chaos. So I started a residential organizing business because I realized that that was an industry out there in the world. And, helped people clean up messes, making things more tidy, decluttering, et cetera. And what happened was in my very first client's first session, we were going through the house on a tour, figuring out what we were going to work on. And we stumbled on a closet that was full of photos in boxes and albums, negatives, flash drives, discs, videotapes, you name it. She had the whole full range of photographic and videographic material. And she looked at me and she said, Bonnie, can you help me with this? And a light bulb went off because here I had worked in a photography business for almost 25 years. I have the DNA to be organized. You merge those two things together. And yes, Sue, I can help you come to grips and reconnect with your photos. So right from the very start, Ray, even though my business was a residential organizing business, I included a specialty under that umbrella to help people with their photos.
Oh boy, you would have been an angel in my life. I one time years and years ago had boxes and boxes naturally, and I was still young enough to remember how old my children were in some of those photos. So I had kind of organized them according to decade. So at least I knew. One time my daughter decided to go through the photos and she dumped them all out and mixed them all up And it's never been quite the same. I tried to redo it again by decade, but now it's a little bit more difficult for me to remember how old they were.
You know, people don't realize how important photos are, okay? Because there are memories.
Absolutely.
And you look at all of the things in your life, and what would you save if you had a fire, if you could?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So, Bonnie, back to your, you know, episode of how you constructed your life here.
Right. So for about 10 years, I did residential organizing with a lot of, you know, work in photos as well. And then about 2.5 years ago, I decided to let go of the residential portion of my business. I was sort of tired of cleaning up messes. It's very physical work, which I can do, but I realize as I mature and, you know, grow older, physical requirements will be, you know, maybe more challenging. And more importantly, Casey and Ray, I love the photo organizing. It's just such gratitude working with people who have lost touch with their photographic memories. They're overwhelmed. The digital world overwhelmed a lot of people because now it's just the quantity and the technology. And it's just they feel so stuck and paralyzed.
Yeah.
So I said, you know what? I've done enough residential organizing. There's other people in the world that can do it. And I refer to a lot of my colleagues when people ask me to do that. And I only do photo organizing. Within the photo organizing umbrella, there are many areas that you could be helping people. There's just, you know, incredible options. So what I did, because we were talking about change, is that I wanted to change my business even a little bit more specifically. And I'm really focusing on people, you know, clients who have that printed photo collection, the boxes and boxes of loose photos, of photos and albums. And, you know, they're typically people who are empty nesters and that, you know, are thinking of their legacy to their children and their grandchildren. And they feel stuck that their photos are not in any shape to be able to be, you know, shared.
Right, right.
So that's really where I'm focusing now.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It's interesting because when I did try to sort through them in the earlier days, there was no dating on them. Then when I went to a digital camera, you did have the ability to have the date show in the lower corner. So at least it gave you a feeling for when the photo was taken. And then somebody said to me, oh, I hate it when the date's on the picture. So I stopped doing it because of peer pressure, and hence my problem.
Well, and now there are so many tools available. So, Bonnie, you use, you know, you can identify things by GPS and cameras and stuff like that. You've got facial recognition on all of these things, but not so much in the old photos that you're working with, is it, Bonnie?
Correct. There are some formats that did have dates on them. The problem was that sometimes the pre-digital cameras, you could put a date on the picture on the front, like you're saying, Casey, but if it wasn't set properly, you may have pictures that have the wrong date, and it sort of gives you a self, you know, a false sense of security that you think, oh, well, this is pictures from 1991. Well,
right.
It wasn't because it was set wrong.
Yeah.
So, what I really tell my clients is I'm a detective at heart, and that's really what you need for someone to help with a collection of printed photos.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I take them all and I sort them out on a huge table, I can just sort them by paper type.
Huh.
And that alone gives me the sense of, well, this kind of paper was in the decade. You know, the Brownie cameras, the Instamatic cameras,
wow,
the Polaroid cameras, you name it.
Yeah.
There's all this technical information to keep track of, and it helps you sort it in a general chronology, and then obviously you get a little more specific as you can when you know the age of the kids, like you were saying.
Yeah.
But it's really a detective, the facial recognition. People probably listening to this are familiar with facial recognition software, but I just have it in my mind because when I'm looking at printed photos, I can tell, oh, that's KC when she was 3. Oh, that's KC when she's 33. It's Detective Bonnie. What can I say?
Nancy Bonnie Drew.
Okay. So in the end, though, it's not really about photos. I mean, that's what you have to do, but it's about all those memories that those photos conjure up. So one of the big things that I know you do is you invoke emotion from people when you get all these things organized and you can sit down with them and help them relive their memories. Why don't you comment about that a little bit?
Absolutely, Ray. And what I tell my clients, because obviously my clients have never done this kind of project before, so they're sort of, they're not knowledgeable or don't even have a lot of ideas besides being overwhelmed. And so what I really focus on is, like you already said, these are your photographic memories that I want to reconnect you with. And then I elaborate on that and say, it's your story. It's your family story, because often people have pictures that they inherited from their parents and grandparents besides the ones that they took themselves. And so I really tell them, we want to make sure that your story is told. And a big piece of what I tell them is, we want to focus on quality over quantity. I don't want you to have 20,000 pictures that are perfectly organized, because you'll still feel overwhelmed and your story will probably be diluted. Mm-hmm. Let's look at the highlights, the best of the best that really speak to you and really tell the story. And then, fortunately, in our digital age, once we've digitized printed photos, there's so many ways that we can share them and tell the story. So some of my clients want to have a photo book, because we want to have a photo book for each of their children, let's say, of their life. Mm-hmm. We also can have a biography written about one of the parents or grandparents. So there's different ways with the photos as a tool to tell the story and make it available to share and to treasure.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk for a minute about your journey through this, because I think our podcast is about change, and you certainly have had change in your life here, probably more so than just the photos. But if we focus on photos, you started before photos. You started with closets and kitchens and things like that. How did you feel going through this? Was this always an easy venture, or was this kind of tough to make decisions as to where you wanted to go?
The good news, Ray, is that I always loved what I do. Like, when I go to work, I'm just so happy. When I have wake up in the morning and I have a client to go see, whether residential organizing or photo organizing, I'm just happy, because I know I can lend my strength and work some magic for them. So there was always happiness. But I think a big part of what helped me change is that I wanted to be more of an expert and more narrow in what I did, because I'd rather have fewer choices. I want to be a really experted in one area and not feel like I have to know seven areas. And I think people in general and professions, it's a little overwhelming to have so many areas that they have to be proficient at. So I think that's what helped me implement some more change, is just to love what I do, more proficient. And then also, don't we know that part of life is time management, right?
Mm.
And so to put changes into place that help you manage your time personally and professionally, and having your own business, is really helpful.
Bonnie, I think what's coming into my head is, when you started this new business with the residential and photo organizing, did you envision that that's what you would be doing for the rest of your working life? Or did you already kind of in the back of your mind have a plan that at some point you were going to hone it down and drill it down into something more specific? What was your plan?
Well, I think I don't know that I had that much of a plan, probably because I was so happy doing it. So I didn't feel like I was going to have to make change to get out of unhappiness.
Mm-hmm.
And I had two young daughters, because I was on, so shortly after a divorce. So I think it was just a lot of change in general, professionally and personally, mm-hmm. that I was managing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't really have a long-term plan, which maybe looking back, maybe I should have.
Okay.
So, no, I guess I didn't really.
Let me interrupt, because I think you did have a plan. And, it may not have been laid out as, this perfect plan on paper, but, most of us go through an evolution. We start out kind of with a direction as to where we want to go. And I think you clearly stated that you've always been happy organizing people and helping people organize. So you had a direction and you did have a plan. And then it's a question of going through and finding out what works and what doesn't work, and being able to find out which pieces of time make you happier than others. And I think you mentioned the fact that there's a certain amount of physical work that, as you age, you don't want to be involved in that as much. So give yourself a lot more credit. I think you actually had a really good game plan. And I think you had a pretty good playbook, too. And I know you did because you had an event almost not too long ago that was almost a terrible tragedy. And yet it turned out to be a really good way of focusing your life. Tell us a little bit about this event.
I will do that. And what I'll do is an introduction to that is one thing that I did learn even before this incident was because I used to be resistant to change. I liked things to stay the same and predictable kind of thing, because I am, like you said, I'm a planner. And I was surrounded by a few people that were very chaotic, and I didn't like chaos. And so I really wanted things to be, predictable. Mm. But after the divorce and after coming up with my own business and doing some, moving a few times, all of this change really taught me that change is really fabulous, that I shouldn't be afraid of it. And actually, I should embrace it, because until you change sometimes, things don't improve or new opportunities don't come away.
Right.
And when you say no, it really usually closes a door. But if you say yes, it opens a door. And so I was really proud of myself, because that was a big switch for me to embrace change and expect that good things were going to come out of it.
Right. And I'd like to stress for our listeners that I know a little bit about your instinctive profile, and I know how intensely change resistant you are by it's in your DNA, and how intensely you want to keep things the way they are. So it is possible to, if you take the time to look at things and to reflect, to recognize that sometimes you do have to go against your natural instincts, because it can be good for you.
Can I quote you on that? I'm going to write that down. That's a really nice encouragement and recognition, Casey. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. It's true.
Okay.
Thank you.
So back to your story.
Yes. So my story is I am a very avid bicyclist. I've been for the last 2 years with my boyfriend, Frank, who is beyond belief on an avid bicyclist. And so we bike almost every morning year round, even if it's cold out. As long as it's not wet or icy, we're on the bikes early in the morning, biking around. So middle of July, we were on a Saturday morning bike ride with three of our good buddies. And basically, I had a tremendous fall. We were changing positions in the rotation, and somehow I just lost control. And I was thrown to the pavement, hit my head on the pavement, luckily wearing a helmet, but I was knocked unconscious and was taken to a hospital. And I suffered a severe brain trauma. I had a broken collarbone, skull fractures, and lots of road rash.
Wow.
And I had no idea what happened. Like, when I woke up in the hospital, I had no idea what had happened, what day it was, where I was, who I was, any of that, because I have no recollection of that accident and what happened. For the next 2 weeks, my brain was just, not accepting information or keeping it.
Wow.
So it was, obviously unexpected. And I spent a long time in recovery. I had surgery to recover to mend my collarbone, thank goodness. I was in physical therapy, but I couldn't use my arm. I was talking slowly at the beginning. I fortunately, got my speech back. But this was almost 5-6 months ago. July 13th will be 6 months ago. And I couldn't work because my mind really wasn't where it needed to be. And physically, I couldn't be doing even photos. Mm. Fortunately, all my clients were very patient and very understanding. But my boyfriend worked from home for 7 weeks because I couldn't even walk our dog. There was just so much I could not do. I couldn't shop, couldn't drive. And so obviously you wake up one day and your life has changed and it's beyond your choice. And it gave me, I know what I've told you guys before is, you know, I wish this never happened for myself. And then obviously the people that it impacted, my kids, Frank, family, you know, the healthcare system, clients, but it really was a gift that has kept on giving because it gave me a total break. I couldn't do anything personally or professionally. So it gave me a lot of time to recoup my thoughts and my plans. And the gift really is also recognizing that a split second changes your life. Unfortunately, it did not end my life, which it could have if I wasn't wearing a helmet.
Right.
We'll talk about that later. But life is precious. Every day matters. And a day is wasted if you waste it doing silly stuff or not important stuff. And so I've really had a really good chance to reprioritize my life personally and professionally, be more grateful, connect with people. I'm laughing more than I ever did before. And it was just unbelievable. You know, never would have been planned, obviously. But I think my experience in change prior to the accident and going through these changes made me like a great candidate to like, okay, Bonnie, this happened. How are you going to change?
Right, right. Now, did it change your business plan?
Yes. It reinforced that I really only want to do printed photos.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to be doing digital. So I have fortunately colleagues that came up with me to do stuff that I don't want to do. And I'll tell you the very interesting addition to what I'm wanting to do. And I'll also mention to you all, I'm not bashful. I turned 60 in September, a couple months after the accident. And I think that was another gift of like, okay, you're 60. What do you want the rest of your life to be like? Life is precious. Life is short. And so what I added, Casey, was I luckily live where I grew up. I know a lot of people in the area that I've known since I was here as a, you know, elementary school. And I reached out to friends of mine who had told me they wanted me to help them with their photos, but they sort of just always put it off because their parents were, you know, ailing and older. I have now started with these two people, Mark and Lori, and I'm doing two family photo collections of people that I grew up with. And it's just, I mean, I'm a great detective if I know nothing about the family because I learn quickly, but to already have pre-knowledge of who's in the pictures and what it was and where they were and what school they went to just adds another layer of gift to my clients and to the results that I'm able to achieve. So I think that's the one significant change that I'm interested in reaching out to more people who I know and knew for a long time. Even family potentially, because I think it adds just another strength and another gift to the results.
So this whole thing basically got you to reexamine your business. And I get the impression that the business didn't change that much. It got focused. You already kind of knew what you wanted to do. You just kind of forced you to say, okay, it's time to get rid of the stuff I really don't want to do and focus on what I really want to do. And then it expanded your life. In this whole
exactly.
Other area, okay? So why is it, Bonnie, that sometimes it takes a catastrophic event for us to really sit down and do what we want to do? When you figure that out, let me know, and we'll do this whole podcast on this thing.
I think it's because we're stubborn, you know? And you know, I mentioned earlier about resistance to change being in your DNA, and I think that that's true for a lot of people. And it varies in degree, but you know, I think that that's what happens is that sometimes the change forces us to refocus or redirect or whatever, and I think that's why people don't like it because they're not prepared.
Yeah, but on the other hand, it strengthens relationships because obviously the people who supported you, you know, you suddenly realize how great your support system is. You suddenly realize how great your business is and, you know, how you can get out some of the stuff that maybe isn't quite as great so that you can enjoy it even more. You change the focus of your life. I think you did a great job here, Bonnie. Okay, but you got to do one other thing before I forget. So what was the commercial that you want about wearing bike helmets?
Exactly. Thank you, Ray. So I've added to my life mission to share my story with people, particularly people who choose not to wear bike helmets, to see if I can't, in very gentle ways, I'm not going to, you know, force them or, you know, be very tough about it, but my pet peeve particularly is seeing families bike around town. The kids, of course, are wearing bike helmets because mom and dad tell them to, but the parents aren't wearing helmets. And now that I know that, God forbid, something should happen to the parent right on the bike with their kids, it would be traumatic beyond belief,
right,
visually for the kids, besides for the results. And so I really am taking it. I've joined a short story theater, so I'm going to be presenting a story in a couple of weeks, and hopefully some of the, you know, audience will be there. And I want to help people realize what can happen if they're not wearing their helmet and how important it is to wear a helmet to save their lives and to maybe, you know, minimize any traumatic injury if they weren't wearing a helmet. So my helmet saved my life. So I would like to encourage you, our listeners, and people you know, to wear theirs because it could be life-saving and life-changing for you. So that's my commercial.
We need to take a short commercial break here, by the way.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to Changing the Rules with Casey Dempster and Ray Lowe, the luckiest guy in the world. We will be right back with more exciting information.
Good. So we're back. And I'm going to go out and buy a bike helmet. Do I need a bike too?
No, bike helmets are very stylish, Ray. They could be quite a talking point wherever you wear it.
And stylish, by the way, too.
Yeah,
they come in colors.
But I'm sitting here thinking, I know what Bonnie looks like, and she wears her hair close cropped, which makes sense if you're wearing a bike helmet because you'd have hat head for the rest of the day, and it's not very attractive.
You know, let me recap a little bit because I think you told a really an exceptional story here. There's an exceptional story in that here, basically, you're a person who normally is very resistant to change, okay? And that comes from something called the Colby, which is a secret weapon that those of us who know hide in the background, okay? But here, with a sequence of things happening in your life, you know, it starts with a divorce, it comes into being a single parent and raising kids, and your business that you set up morphed over the years to some extent because it had to, but also because it wanted to, and because you made some decisions to make it more efficient, more effective, and to focus on the people that you really got excited about, which makes you happier every day going out and doing your thing. So I think you're the perfect model for this. Go ahead, Bonnie. I interrupted.
Well, no, that's okay. I did want to, because when you, you know, asked about, you know, why do you think it made such a big difference in my life? You know, I think in general, as human beings, we're only doing this once, right? You know, as we have always said, it's not a dress rehearsal, and then you get to do the actual performance. This is it. And it's all new. And if you don't really know what to expect in the future, you know, you sort of just limp along, or I guess I felt like I was on a linear path that I just sort of kept things, you know, not changing as much.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's what the beauty of this, you know, unexpected catastrophe was. It just woke me up, and it's like, okay, it woke me up from that linear path of doing everything the way I had done things forever. And it woke me up and said, you know what? You're lucky. Let's change.
And embrace change, and always wear a bike helmet, right? Did we get that?
I love it.
Okay, well, thank you for being a guest on our show, and thank you for the comments that you made, because it just so fits. You just are such a great example of the plan and changing the plan, even when it hurts to do that. And, you know, we'll have you on again at some point in time, and we'll follow the further adventures of Bonnie Shea. So Mariposa Photo Organizing, did I get that correct?
Bingo. Yep.
And just type that in. It'll come up with a website. You can get in touch with Bonnie. Bonnie puts out a newsletter, by the way, which just gives you photo tips and ideas. You want to subscribe to that if you can. And again, Bonnie, thank you for being with us. And I think let's go to one further break, and we're going to come back and we're going to talk a little bit about our Friends Connection Conference. And let me just add, if you want to meet people like Bonnie, got to come to the Friends Connection Conference.
This is Changing the Rules. Stay tuned to learn more about the Friends Connection and how you can be a part of this valuable life experience.
Okay. Are you on or am I on, Casey?
Whatever you want. You're the boss.
No, you start over here. So we have this event coming up, right?
That's correct.
Tell us a little bit about it.
We're doing our second annual Friends Connection. It will be in Philadelphia on April 17th at the Marriott Old City. And it's a full day of workshops and speakers. And what we're going to be talking about basically is what we talk about here on the podcast, is that change is hard. You need to have a plan. And in addition to having a plan, you also need a backup plan or a playbook, such as Bonnie had, in knowing she kind of knew where she wanted to go, but the accident forced her to refocus and really pay attention to fine-tuning her plan. And we're going to be talking about not just business. We're going to be talking about your life going forward.
Yeah, and, you know, Bonnie was a great example of this because, you know, she kind of exuded and talked us through the changes that occurred. And now she's at this point where, you know, there are no kids, okay?
Well, they're still there.
There's no,
she's empty nesting.
There's no job in her case. She has a career that she's managing, but it's not really a job. It's based on going to work every day and being happy, and just along the way you happen to make money too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of the people that tend to get to this point in life really don't have a job. They have no kids. The kids are grown. There's no job, and they have no direction. And one of the things that we've uncovered in past conversations is that the largest growing group of people in this country are centenarians.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens if we wind up being a centenarian and you wind up retiring at age 65-ish?
Right.
Okay. You spend 35 years of your life with not a really good direction. And how much of your time have you wasted? And, you know, Bonnie kind of showed us the importance of life is short. You know, live it
right
to the full. And we over the years have talked about all these people with great quotes about living their own lives, not somebody else's life.
Right.
So what the purpose of this Friends Connection Conference is it's a gathering of people to think about where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And there are a couple of issues in here that I want to hit on. When we're done at the end of the day, people who attend this thing will have a written game plan. They will know where they're going. That may not be complete, and it's going to allow for changes, but they're going to have that direction focused in, and they're going to know where they're heading.
Correct.
Right?
Right.
They're also going to wind up with a written playbook.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens when you have the bike accident or whatever it is that causes a change in things, and how do you cope?
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the pre-thought-out strategies that you can have that will set you up for life so that you don't have to start all over again at a time of crisis?
Right.
We're also going to have an action plan.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's going to have a one-year plan here, which is going to say, all right, what are the things that I want to investigate here? I want to find out more about, and I want to build on so that I can go into this next phase of my life and be happy and be content and be somewhat directed.
Right.
Okay. So there's more.
Okay.
There's always more. So when you come to the Friends Connection Conference, and if you want to meet the kind of people that are the guests on our podcast here, you do want to come because they're exciting people who have figured out how they're going to refocus their lives and make them count. And when you come to this conference, you want to bring some people with you.
Okay.
I think it'd be a good idea to bring your spouse or your significant other.
Or right, because they're going to have to be part of the plan.
Yeah, or your spouse and your significant other if you want. But the whole idea is bring the people that you want to plan with. Consider bringing other family members that you want to do things with, whether it's parents, whether it's adult kids. And the whole idea is I think kids feel better if they know parents have a plan.
That's true.
Okay. And they know where they're going, and they don't have to worry about winging it and coming up with all of these solutions when their parents haven't planned.
Right.
Bring your friends. Okay. I think it's a great idea to plan with friends. If you have people that you share experiences with, you want to travel with, or you share hobbies with, or maybe you just even sit around at the bar and drink with, okay, bring them, and it's part of it. Bring your financial advisor with you.
Oh, now that's interesting.
All right. One of the things that financial advisors have a great difficulty doing is to try to predict when the money has to be there, because too often we don't tell them what we want to do. And too often it's because we haven't thought it out and we don't know.
Right.
And Sandy and I have been exploring a lot of things lately. We've been exploring where we want to live. We were exploring where we want to travel to. We want to explore our medical issues and where we want to be and what's our legacy going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And in the process of this, we found that things have changed.
Mm-hmm. And, surprise!
Yeah, so we haven't been able to really get our financial advisor to sit down and talk about what are the things that he needs to do to make this happen. And what we're going to do is we're going to supplement this conference in a couple of ways. Number one, we're going to bring in some experts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're not going to be able to cover all of the experts of your unique financial plan, but we've chosen four areas for this conference. We're going to explore lifestyle and where you want to live. We're going to explore your medical system, support system, and what it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to support travel and how do you plan for the future in here so that you're still physically healthy enough to do what you want to do.
Right.
And what the heck is your legacy going to be?
Right.
And so we've got some great experts that are going to come in and talk about these things. And hopefully at the end of the day, you're going to walk away with a notebook. And
yep.
That notebook is going to have your unique plan,
mm-hmm.
your playbook in there, so that what happens when things change, it's not going to be perfect, but it's going to have pieces to help you move. It's going to have your action plan for what you want to think about and investigate for next year. And it's going to set you up to plan with you alone, you and your spouse and your friends, and most important, to weave your financial advisor into the plan so that you're going to be able to do things. So we invite you to come. You're going to meet some great people like Bonnie, who have been through these kinds of experiences and are going to be able to share more with you. So hopefully that date is going to be April 17th mm-hmm. in Philadelphia at mm-hmm. the Philadelphia Old City Marriott.
Right.
Okay. And we're going to limit this. We're not going to be a big group. We're going to limit it to 50 people. Okay. And we're going to sit down and have a blast while we figure out what we really want to do in our lives and make what we want happen, as opposed to being driven by everybody else.
Right. And if you come, you can plan to spend a day or two extra and immerse yourself in the history of old Philadelphia.
It's a wonderful place, and so much has happened, and we'll have some activities set up for people when they come, too. So,
great.
So everybody, thank you for joining us. This is Ray Lowe, and I am the luckiest guy in the world. I get to sit here and talk to people like Bonnie. I get my co-host over here. I've got Taylor, my engineer, over here. What can be better than this?
Nothing. Thank you, and we'll be talking to you again soon.
Thank you for listening to Changing the Rules, a podcast designed to help you live your life the way you want and give you what you need to make it happen. Join us in 2 weeks for our next exciting topic on Changing the Rules with Casey Dempster and Ray Lowe, the luckiest guy in the world.